We turned the fun notch up to maximum today, didn't we? It was a lot of fun.
What about Ed? You've dug up how Sturlo bought his first car. Who's it from?
From Artie Beaton. Sir Arthur. And there was some good stories about how people got hold of their first car. Also, Robin was attacked by a possum in her own home.
That's not
very nice. And you laughed and laughed and laughed.
You weren't attacked. It just positioned dead body outside your bedroom.
Yeah, that's attacking. I take that as a personal attack.
That's amazing. And also, we've got to think about Rabs Warren. He's embedded with the New South Wales Origin team at the Star City Casino. We've got a report on what's been going on there.
How long should you make love for? It's answered today on the catch-up. It's just science. It's
whatever puts a smile on your face, everyone.
And all you boys went, phew.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. You don't want to be cramping up.
Okay. Enjoy the catch-up.
Gather round, girls.
Girls,
gather round. Bring it in nice and tight. I've got thousands of dollars to save you. Are you all listening?
No.
Yep.
Okay, Ed, you know what's happened here. Yesterday I went and had my hair cut at the barber. It's an old-fashioned thing where men get their hair cut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there, my hair, I've told you about my barber before, hairdresser almost said gourd. Barber, he'd be listening right now. Paul, how are you, mate? He is about 98 kilograms of absolute muscle. He's a mixed martial artist, loves fighting, also cuts Quade Cooper's hair. He's got cred. All right, there he is. We're at Newmarket. So sitting there, him and I are talking about the Mayweather against Conor McGregor fight.
And
we're talking a bit of rugby because he loves his New Zealand rugby, having a great old time. And I hadn't noticed this woman had walked in, and that often happens, mum's, because I went just before 3 o'clock. Thought I'd get in before those bloody school kids. So I thought, I just caught her at the corner of my eye. Woman walked in. I figured, there's a little boy there somewhere. No, because my barber said, you all right? She said, yeah, I'll wait for Jane. And Jane must be the other barberessa.
You nearly
what
said
do you call a female
again?
Barber?
Did you say barberessa?
I don't know.
Jesus.
Well, let's go with it. All right, so Jane finally comes back. And then it's the woman had been waiting to not get her son's hair cut. It was a woman about, wonderful looking woman, about 65 years of age.
Okay.
Right, short grey hair, sat down in the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Proceeded to have a haircut. So she, poor woman, had to put up with us talking rugby and stuff like that. But she sits down, has her, tells Jane the hairdresser, no, stop saying hairdresser, Greek, barber, tells her what she wants and away you go. And we both had a haircut sitting next to each other and we walked out paying $25 and I went, wow, you are one top chick. I've never seen a female get a haircut in my barber before in my life,
and
ever.
And good on you, lovely lady.
How many times do you reckon you get a haircut? Every 6 weeks?
Colour? Yeah.
What?
I have wisdom lines, Marto.
I'm going 9 times. I'm saying 9 times a year. It might be more, correct?
Yeah.
Do this for math. $25. It costs me $225 a year to get my hair cut. Right. That's if I went every 6 weeks. But I'm going, if you're a female, I'm here to save you money. Girls, are you still with me?
No.
Righto. I'm saying, and girls don't like to tell you this, that it costs more than $200 every time you go to the hairdresser.
Yeah, we tell you it costs us $200.
Right, well, let's even take, let's say 9 times 200 is $1,800. So I'm at a minimum now of taking $1,800 minus $225. If you went to the barber every time you go to those hairdressers, you're saving at this stage $1,600. Now, I'm being really, really lowball on the $200 a visit to the hairdresser. I'm saying to you, everyone's going, oh, how do I save $30 a week? Well, I've just done it for you right there. Start getting your hair cut by a barber.
Thank you.
This lady got such a wonderful job done.
Of course she did. And short back and sides are awesome. And if that's what her hair cut is and it suits her, I honour you, lovely lady, and you have got the job done.
Get yourself 2 wigs.
Excuse me?
Get your hair cut short and then throw a wig on. There's so much fun. I've worn them to parties before. You have so much fun when you've got a wig on.
Okay, it's been very quiet, and I know why Ed's been very quiet, because he is married to the gorgeous Tiffany.
Oh, she's got long hair.
And Tiffany Hall has the most deliciously voluptuous, gorgeous hair.
It's a no-go zone. It's a no-go zone.
She ain't going to a barber.
I'm not allowed to question how much it costs, how often she goes, or what takes place.
But you can't argue with the logic.
Yes, I can. I will stop spending that money on the hairdresser when you stop going to Bunnings and putting your hand in your pocket.
Interesting.
What about when he buys something?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, I, hold on. I'm saying that's a minimum, the 1500. I reckon there's some woman. Can you please be honest for a second? Are there some girl spending $300 on a hairdo?
Oh, and some.
$400?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my
What's
god!
Your hair cost
if you if you're getting extensions put in, if you're doing anything that requires a little bit, like when all my hair started to fall out, I had to put lots of treatments through. I was going in to get treatments put in once a week to try and stop me from going bald.
See? Oh, you and that Ricky Ponting stress. Sitting yeah, there mate. In the waiting room.
So what do you want to know? You want to know how much we spend at the hairdressers?
How
no,
much you spend? Because I'm giving you.
Be honest.
I'm giving you. It costs $225 a year for a bloke to get his hair cut. Some blokes are lucky. They're going to $17 a haircut, barber. Cheaper. $200 a year. What are you spending on hair?
Be honest. I would love to know if there's any blokes who actually know
more
what
than nine times a year
spending on their hair.
They do know more than nine times a year. Maybe a dozen times a year. How often do you go to the hairdresser?
6 weeks, every 6 weeks or so.
Wow, just less, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, ladies, 1-3-3-5-3, how much are you spending on your hair? And men, how much are your partners spending
you
on their
so
hair?
You are so much like those guys in RBT. How many beers you had? Oh, two. Oh, you blew point one.
Sure thing, mate.
Oh, sure,
Paddy
mate.
Wagon.
Now, Peter from Everton Park's called in straight away. Now, Pete, I understand you own a barbershop.
Yeah, I've got a barbershop out of Everton Park. Good morning, guys.
Hello,
morning.
Mate. And I'll give it a plug. Where is it? What's its name?
It's called Peter Michael's Men's Hairdresser. We've been in business 28 years.
Whoa.
Oh, good
and
on you, Pete.
I've been cutting hair since I was 15, and we've been doing women since I opened the shop. We've got a lot of ladies that come in for short hairstyles.
Ah, uh-huh. Short hairstyles, interesting.
And the reason is they can get it done a lot quicker, a lot cheaper, without the fuss.
Interesting.
Do you charge them Robin? The same price?
Yeah, usually we charge the same price. If it's a little bit more work, we might add an extra $5, but it's still a lot cheaper than going to a female hairdresser.
And what are the age of the women that are coming in?
Well, we get anywhere from 6-year-old girls getting the ends trimmed to 80-year-old women.
How good's that?
Wow.
Well, so long hair costs money, doesn't it, Pete? He's Gornski.
Thank you, Pete.
Long hair does if you get a colour. If you're just getting a trim, it should be the same as short hair. You so don't know anything about this, Marto.
Well, this lady was so beautiful. She just had grey hair and short hair, and it looked magnificent. It's more about who you are.
Oh, look at you go.
Ooh.
Sigh. Cheryl of Woody Point.
Hello.
Hey. How much do you spend on hairdressers?
Zero.
Ooh, how come?
Why?
I don't myself.
How do you do
cutting
that?
Yourself? How do you do that?
Oh, I layer it like it's shoulder length and it layered, and I just learnt to do it myself.
What do you think about my have three wigs and get yourself through the week like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, my husband does mine too. He has it on a shaver and the actual blades and does it himself. So we don't spend anything.
So you're fourth round up for the year. That's well done.
Yeah, nothing.
No, you're skilled. That's a skill. I'm sorry. I tried once to do one of my son's hair, and he wore a beanie for 6 weeks.
That's all right.
Yeah,
you can't spoil a bloke's haircut.
Oh, yes, you can.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you can.
Give it to me.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Kat of the Sunny Coast, tell me about your hair. Where do you go?
I actually go to the barber.
Righto.
And I have very long hair, and I always get comments on it.
So how does it cost the same as a bloke's haircut?
I think it's about $7 more. I think it's $25.
You are saving so much money, Kat. You'd have friends that would spend hundreds of dollars, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. And I used to spend that much. And then my local barber, I just went to her to get the ends trimmed, and she's like, oh, do you want me to layer it? And she layered it, and she did an amazing job.
Kat, you don't have colour, though, do you?
I used to get the ombre done, and I stopped doing that because I went and got it done and spent 3 hours in a chair, paid, I don't know, $200-odd, and I had to get redone because I didn't do a good job. So I just gave up on getting colours because it just never...
What's an ombre?
That's when you get the ends done.
Yeah, so the top of the hair right down to probably about a couple of centimetres from the bottom end is not like darker colour, and then the ends are lighter.
Wow.
It's very trendy. It was
look at you finding interest.
Kat, how much do you reckon you've saved? Like a year you could save $2,000 to $3,000, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah, easily. I mean, if you don't need... I mean, if you have the shorter hair and you get the edge styling and that, yeah, you probably need to go to a hairdresser, but... I just have very long hair, and she layers it all for me, and it's great. Yeah, it doesn't cost.
Kat, we've all learnt something here this morning, haven't we?
Yeah, that you have no idea.
A couple of years of this and you get a pair of bolt-on breasts.
Yeah.
Like, save up your money for something useful.
Yeah, Marto, righto. Please, yellow card.
You're not going to yellow card.
Yes,
that's a yellow card,
mate.
That's a yellow card.
That was a joke.
Officiating never rests.
In the last 2.5 years since I've become a widow and the single mother of three boys, I pride myself on having learnt to do stuff I never thought I'd have to do, like change light bulbs, like hammer stuff into walls, like just be an all-round practical person. I've now work out the accounts and I've become really good at that too. But one thing, and one thing only, and I have been faced with this twice now in the last 2.5 years, and I cannot do it. I have a phobia, and I have no idea where it came from, of dead animals, right? You would think a live one would be more problematic, but no.
But that's fair. That's
if they're
fair
dead, phobia. I can't handle it.
Wow.
So 11:40 last night, my middle son comes into my bedroom and wakes me up because we can hear this, like, screaming going on through the house.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
I have two dogs and they're both lazy as, and they sleep outside our doors. And I know that they hear the possums, but most times they think, ah, can't be bothered, we'll never catch them, and don't get flustered by them. Yeah. We left a door open ajar, which I hadn't realised, and a possum got into the house.
Oh, this is great.
No, it's not.
I bet it
is. No, it's not.
Unless
the dogs chased the possum around the house because there was fur from everywhere, right? On the kitchen bench, over the pool table, over the dining room table. There's a scratch in my leather lounge where either a dog or a possum has gone to it.
If you got a CCTV, this would be a super Benny Hill style.
Okay, so then
one of them's a greyhound.
Right.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay, it did not end well. Okay, and then they decided...
Take you back to his training days.
They would deliver the said possum to my bedroom door.
Well, that's what they do, of course. Yeah. Look what we did.
Yeah.
Look.
So I wake up to my middle son going, Mum, I'm just waking you now because if you find this at 3 o'clock in the morning, I know you won't cope. Well, I wasn't coping at 11:40 either, I'll give you the tip. I was sitting there with my hands in my head and we woke up my eldest son who has the biggest football game of his life today and he wandered up the stairs, looked down, climbed into my bed and went back to sleep. So I'm
Are we right outside your bedroom door?
Right outside my bedroom. I didn't know what to do. I was thinking, I'll ring the guys in the morning, I'll do the show from in this bedroom. I can't deal with it.
You were petrified.
I still am. I can't cope with dead animals.
Shovel.
And this stupid thing was there, dead in front of me. Oh, my God. It just creeps me out even thinking about it.
Wait.
Do you know
still
what I did?
There?
No.
You climbed out the window to come to work?
No, I climbed out the window. No, I have this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman who lives with us during
the
week.
Boys during the week.
Zelma. And she's a great country chick and
What's
nothing terrible.
What's that next to her origin?
She's an amazing lady and she just saves me all the time. I got my middle son, Lauren, to go and wake her. And she got up and she picked it up and she chucked it in the bin and it's gone. And yes, I know how pathetic.
Think it's gone.
No, stop it.
When you get back tonight, like when you wake up.
Have you ever had that happen with rats and cockroaches?
They come looking at you on your pillow and it just says, you thought I was gone tonight, then.
You think this is funny, don't you?
Oh,
I think this is so it can re-die in front of my bedroom door again tonight for the continuing story.
Yeah.
A number of possums will come looking because they've got good noses and they'll come and attack
possum
your dog.
Family.
Okay, here's a commitment that I will make to you.
A possum posse. I like to call it.
Here we go.
They'll come and swing in some clubs and get your two dogs.
Ed Cavalier and Greg Martin. If the family of the said possum comes back, I will be ringing both of you. I don't
care
what time of day or night it is, and I will continue to ring you until you come and sort it out.
Right. Robin Bailey, I'm like a feral cat. I'm looking for any excuse to kill native animals.
Well, we may have to put a bell around your neck.
You got a cassowary that's bothering you? I'll club him. Yeah.
Reminiscing about first cars after Sterlo was ripped off with his.
Well, Sterlo, we found out, bought his first car off Artie Beetson. And then Artie gave him a 30-day warranty. And on day 31, Robin, it fell apart.
And it was a Passat.
Yeah, Volkswagen Passat from the 70s. Catherine is from Hope Island. Your first car story, how did you get hold of it?
Made a bet with my dad. He said that if I got an OP bet enough to get into the university degree he did, he'd buy me my first car, and I raked it in, got 3 points higher than he thought I would.
And he bought you a car. What was it?
A Mitsubishi Lancer that ended up actually rusting from the inside out.
Yeah, did you specify with him what car he'd have to buy you?
No, but I thought get me something that was pretty reliable. The engine was reliable, but the actual shell wasn't.
Oh, I love that.
What degree did you do?
He did a accounting law degree.
What did you do?
Teaching.
Oh, good one.
There you go.
But you could have done council law.
Well done, Catherine. Love that.
What was the story you said? You bought a car for nothing that wasn't, that no money was exchanged?
No, I wanted one of them.
You wanted one for beer.
I wanted to hear about someone who never actually paid money, who just paid a car and a beer or something or other.
Chris of Springfield Lakes, what's your story?
G'day. My story is that I went to buy a car for a mate, and he let you take it for a test drive over the weekend. So I took it down the coast, and trying to keep up with other mates on a dirt road, I actually crashed it.
And did you hand it back and go, this car sucks on dirt roads, mate. I'm not buying this.
I rung him up and told him the news, and he goes, well, I guess you have to buy it. And so I had to go to a bank and get a loan for a crashed car.
Oh, that's terrible, Chris.
Oh, that's shocking. Was it repairable or was it written off?
No, it was repairable, but it took me about 3 or 4 months to save up the money to get it done.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
man, that's a lot.
That
life
puts
lesson.
You behind, doesn't it? Thank you, Chris.
Who we got there? Is that Matt? Matt from Wellington Point. What was your story?
Yeah, how you going, man? My awesome father bought a car that was smashed, an old 1979 VB Commodore. And he replaced the whole front end on it, painted it, got it all going for me. It was meant to be a project we were going to work on together, but he did most of the work and I just hung out with my mate. So, I was very grateful for it.
See, that makes the car special, doesn't it, Matt? You got a connection to that car.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, it was the best car I've ever owned. And I kicked myself that I got rid of it, but, it was great.
Love it.
See, do you reckon anyone's ever going to have a story about that, like with a Mahindra? Mm. And then we went down to the Mahindra dealership and my dad put his arm around me.
Conversation that we've had a couple of times during this week because I brought some stats to you about just how many calories you can burn during sex. Whoa. Right? Now, remember the conversation? It went something like this. 2 hours will burn a hamburger or 3 vodkas and Cokes. And the equivalent of playing
2 hours.
An entire football match.
Oh.
There you go. You go for 2 hours and you do not have to play your soccer game this weekend, Brendo.
I don't think I can go for 2 hours. I stand by that.
Yeah, well, you were all bit like, what? Are you for real? So I found you. I went looking after that because I was very curious
World record?
Well, no, I didn't go for the
world record.
No,
anyway.
And not surprisingly, our work Googling system would not allow me to Google that sort of information. Anyway, I have found a sexologist and therapist.
A what?
Yeah. She talks about this professionally for a living. And her name, conveniently, is Tracy Cox. Anyway.
Well, we're too old to giggle at that.
Tracy Cox.
Anyway, she has a definitive answer for all you guys wondering just
about
how long you are required to go for. How long do you think we want you to go for versus how long you actually can? Here it is.
Now, most men also think that most women want them to last for about half an hour, maybe even more in bed. The truth is, one major survey found between 5 minutes and 13 minutes is the ideal time of intercourse for most women. So most women don't want these marathon sex sessions. So stop worrying about something that you probably don't even need to be worrying about.
Feel better?
That's tremendous. How long are the ads on TV? Like, if you're watching a show, they're 5 minutes usually. That's
ample
time. Is
that
a coincidence? Is that a coincidence?
Okay, the reason you're saying that means you must have tested it.
No, I'm just thinking. 5 to 13, that's all right.
Do you want the world record for the longest?
Oh, yeah.
I found it.
Yeah.
15 hours, 7 minutes, and 23
no.
seconds.
Is that Sting?
No.
That stupid Sting?
It is Sting.
Oh, no.
I knew it was
no, it's not Sting.
Sting. Oh, wasn't it?
It's not his tantric.
No.
Someone, no.
Just some fella from the US. Good on him.
No, but for that to be a world record, there would have had to have been an official person in the room while he did
oh,
it.
Oh, watch yes. it. A Guinness, a bloke from Guinness there. Have you ever heard the tip? This guy might have done this during his 15 hours, but he'd have to get a bigger figure to last longer. Did you ever get, as a young bloke, count backwards in 13s from 1,000? Mm.
She told me about that. No. On this, no. In this video, and I didn't pull it off because I had no idea that you would know that, she says, don't do that because don't the male that. Brain is not capable
974, 961.
Of doing... 5 minutes yet?
Lovely.
The big issues. Ooh, that's a hammering tackle. All the big moments.
Try for Queensland.
The voice of rugby league. Rabs Warren.
Gallows Pies. You've done absolutely beautifully, Sean.
Oh, the great man. This week, well, the New South Wales Origin team named on Monday, and ever since then they've been at the Star Casino in Sydney. And Rabs, incredibly enough, because he's the commentator, he's supposed to stay by us, he's been in camp with them.
Oh, Rabs, he joins us. It seems like a really strange place for the Blues to have their camp. Have the players been behaving themselves?
Morning, Fat Man. Morning, Stuart. Morning, Aaron. Rabs here, coming to you live from the Star Casino in Sydney. I'm sitting by the pool in my Speedos, a pina colada in one hand and a gallows pie in the other. Gallows pies, my favourite. Okay. Poolside pies, and I see. You've asked me there, Vossie. You've asked me, is it a strange place for the players to be?
Mm.
Have they been well behaved? These are good questions, Vossie. I can tell you this: the guys have been really well behaved. The team have been leaving the bars early. They're back in their rooms by 9:30 p.m.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the married ones normally pick up first, so they go home early, and then the others just normally do the right thing and drink till dawn and throw up on a blackjack table. Still.
So have you done anything else in Sydney?
Yeah, Vaughn. As a team, they went to do the bridge climb.
Oh, yes.
They said it's so high up there. They said, Rabs, some of us haven't been that high since the Roosters Australia Day party. I can tell you something, Fat Man. Yeah. There is a real team spirit here. We've been seeing so many old New South Wales Origin players around the casino. It feels like you can't walk 5 metres without tripping over one of them, at least at John's. We saw Brett Hodgson last night.
Oh, really? Brett Hodgson? Where?
Yeah, Australia. He was in the bistro. He came over to the team and he said, bread rolls, anyone? He's working as a waiter at the moment, just part-time. The food here is first rate. But I can tell you something. I tell you what they don't serve.
What?
Wow. Oh, we don't want to say it. No, we don't want to say it.
No, Rabs, we don't. We're not going to go down that track,
say
mate.
Say it, Joey.
You've already
just
mentioned the casino.
Just
say we it, are Joey. Not saying.
Say it.
We're not saying Gallows Pies.
Oh, Gallows Pie! Yeah. My favourite pie. That's right. They got to add them to the a la carte menu here, Vossie. Don't tell me the high rollers wouldn't love to have a gob full of gallows while they lose 50k on Baccarat. Can I tell you something, Yvonne? A lovely touch from the casino. When we arrived with the team, they turned on the biggest fountain for us, just like at the Bellagio. It was beautiful. It was cascading all over their bag. When I looked closer, though, it was just Todd Carney doing some bubbling.
Rabs,
a wonderful gesture.
Rabsy, we might talk to you closer to the game.
No, shut up, Yvonne. I've got to go. Josh Dugan's just done something awful in the spa. Get the scoop.
Okay, thank you, Rabby.
So, it's going to be the biggest boxing fight of all time in terms of money, which is an odd thing because Mayweather versus McGregor, Mato and Robin.
That's weird.
The question is always with these things at the moment is it a genuine boxing fight or is it just a...
What do you reckon?
Essentially a show. I've got a friend of mine who trains boxers and I happened to see him yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you think of it? And he's just trained an Australian champion. And he said, it's a good boxing fight for everyone who knows nothing about boxing.
That's me.
Right. And I said, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Can we tell you a little bit about Merriweather, as you call him, but
nothing.
His actual name's Mayweather, Floyd Mayweather. In 2012, 13, 14, 15, you'll enjoy this, he was the highest paid, this is according to Forbes, the highest paid athlete in the world because he was having these amazing fights against De La Hoya, Pacquiao, Mosley.
Winning?
Yeah, and it was pay-per-view. It sort of just started cranking up, and he made, in that period, they reckon he made for pay-per-view television $1.3 billion. He made for them, so of course they repaid him quite nicely.
So then, it's a global thing, like people all over the world are watching this.
He was voted pound for pound in the last 25 years the greatest boxer of the last 25 years. He's defensively the number one boxer ever, as in he's got the best defense.
Can't hit him.
And since they've had CompuBox, which is an efficiency of punching little program they have, he's also the best attacking boxer. So he is the ultimate machine, but he's 40 years of age.
Oh.
And he's been officially retired for 2 years.
Mm. What about this Irish guy then?
Oh, my God.
He is a two-time UFC champion, a guy called Conor McGregor. An Irish, a very confident. He's good fun, Conor McGregor. Good
he's
for a quote.
He's heavily tattooed.
This whole thing started on the Conan O'Brien show, July 2015.
Oh, Conan who's also Irish.
Yeah, redheaded Irishman gets Conor on for a bit of redheaded Irishman fun.
Yeah.
And he says, would you box Floyd Mayweather? Conan says it to him, not the other way around.
Wow.
He sort of laughs. He's like, yeah, I'll dance around the ring for $180 million. Yeah, I'll box him.
So this has been going on since then.
Yeah, but then he sort of said it. And then it went crazy. And then he's obviously thought, hang on a sec, I can talk myself into a fight here. which he has.
So who's going to win?
Do you know, Sam, our producer, told me before, 3 years ago, he was on welfare benefits in Dublin.
And how much is he worth now?
His last fight got him 50 or 60 mil. Did not 50 mil?
Something like that?
There's a lot of conjecture about that because the UFC guys don't get paid nearly as much as the boxers. And so that's what. And so Mayweather is always. He sent out a tweet, Mayweather, a little while ago, because with his own net worth, $650 million.
Is that what he's. Then, he's what, telling everyone this is what I'm worth?
And that's then Conor McGregor's net worth, $2.5 million, saying before you ask for $25 million, you better be worth $25 million. He did that at the start of this year.
But I heard yesterday. So we reckon Mayweather, they're saying he's definitely getting $100 million for this fight. But is McGregor going to get the same? There's reports. No way in the world.
Well, he's been offered. I think he got offered $50 million to fight him because Dana White, the head of UFC, kept saying it's not going to happen because he doesn't want it to happen because it sort of changes their world.
Can I just play Dana White? He's the guy that sort of invented UFC. He makes all the money. Yeah, he said they don't have a ring. They have an octagon. And anyway, he made a comment. He actually had a blue, this time last year with Conor McGregor, and then they made up because they realised it was more important for their money. Let's just play Dana White. This is the guy who brought Conor McGregor through UFC.
Floyd Mayweather is 40 years old. He's always had problems with southpaws. Conor McGregor is 27 years old. He is a southpaw. And whenever Conor hits people, they fall.
He's a left-hander, and he's basically going to punch his way with his left hand.
It means nothing, really. It means nothing, but a couple of blokes are going to get 150 mil for it.
Are you finished now? Is that good? I learned something.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that's all it was for, just to educate
you. Okay. Well done.
And to talk about blokes punching each other.
Yeah, man.
Tragic fire in the London apartment block. All of the chat, Marto, yesterday has been around the construction or the refurbishment of that building and this cladding that they put out the front. It seems to be that was the thing that made it such a terrible tragedy. And now the talk is about whether or not this cladding is being used in new buildings in Brisbane. And
not many people seem to know. Like people are going, I don't know whether it's got the stuff that's got the petroleum product in there that goes up or whether mine's got for a fire retardant. Builders don't seem to understand.
Which is why we're joined by Kristen Brookfield, HIA Chief Executive from Industry Policy, dealing with policy around building products and building code. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Good morning, team. How are you doing?
Yeah, I bet you had a busy day. We started getting texts and calls about this time yesterday about people going, hold on, we use that stuff all the time in Brizzy here. What's your take on it?
Well, you're right. It certainly was a busy day yesterday, and I spent at the time listening to a lot of different people say a lot of things, and some of it was right and some of it wasn't right. And I guess what is my take on it? My take on it is it is critical that builders use the right things to do the right stuff. So there are a whole range of panel systems available, and some of them are combustible, as you've said, and some of them aren't combustible. So basically that means some of them will burn and some of them don't. Mm-hmm. And our building code says what you should use, and if somebody makes a mistake and uses the wrong thing, then we can have a problem on our hands.
Okay, so why is the combustible stuff available in Australia to be used on buildings anyway, if it's that dangerous potentially?
Okay, because there are some buildings which aren't high-rise apartment buildings where this stuff is, this material is fantastic for insulation purposes. It's good to keep a building warm. So the example to kind of give you is that if you use, plasterboard that we put on the walls in our houses, if that gets wet, it's not going to be fantastic. It's going to start to fall apart. But there's another type of plasterboard that you use when you're building your bathroom, and that's waterproof. Now, if you put the wrong plasterboard in your bathroom and it gets wet, you're going to have a problem. So it's about the humans doing the right thing rather than the product being a bad product.
Okay.
If I can explain it that way.
I hear what you're saying.
But for low rise, like I spoke to a lot of mates yesterday who are builders, but for low rise, you can put whatever you like out there, because low rise is sometimes built out of timber, which tends to burn quite nicely too.
It does, and our building code says how far away a house should be from its neighbour.
Yep.
And therefore, if the house, God forbid, if a house was on fire, the house is far enough away from the neighbour that the neighbour's house won't catch on fire as well. So the other thing to say here is that that building was a really old building. It was built in 1970.
Yeah.
The British building codes are really different. You wouldn't believe it, but they only made sprinklers mandatory in 2007 for these type of buildings.
God.
In Australia, they've been mandatory years and years and years, and all the other safety features are required in buildings like this, which is not apparently the case in England.
Okay, one last question. Whose responsibility is it then to know about the cladding and who puts what? If the builders don't know, do the architects know?
Engineers.
Do the engineers know? Like, if you're going to move into a high-rise, who makes that decision?
Okay, so you're right. We actually call it the supply chain. It's a number of people. So the person who designed the building should be picking the right products and putting on the plan the information about the right product. The person who buys the products should be buying what was on the plans and getting the right stuff. And then there's a person called a building inspector or a building certifier, and it's their job to check those plans are right. And it's their job in Queensland to check that that building was built as per the plan.
Kristen Brookfield, HIA, Chief Executive for Industry Policy, dealing with policy around building products and the building code. Thanks so much for your insights this morning.
Thanks again. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tell us, everyone loves Tell us. Gordy, good morning to you. And last night on the Matty John show, that... Do you think Wayne Bennett might be after Kevin Walters' origin job, Mr. Tallis?
Yeah, look, it's not going away. Obviously, Wayne Bennett's accountant is it Bruce Hatcher or whatever, the boss of the QRL? So that's one of Wayne's best mates. So he's been his accountant for ages. So it's just not going away. So, it just sort of lays underneath. And when they bring it up and the truth, you just go, listen, Kevin Walters, it's going through a transition period. This is going to be the hardest period for Queensland, right? All those superstars that have come through in the last 10 years, I don't know where they are. I don't know what Queensland Rugby League has done to go out there and find the next, Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk. I don't know what our pathways look like, and I hope they didn't think that this was going to go on forever. Mm. So whoever's coaching Queensland now would be the hardest job, and they're on a hiding to nothing, a bit like Laurie Daly was. Mm. 5 years of hard work, and now he's finally, teaching these guys how to beat these, superstars for Queensland. So one series loss against a rejuvenated New South Wales side, I don't think it calls for Kevin Walters to lose his job, that's for sure.
Can we stop all this talk? Because I keep getting sent from New South Wales people going, look, you're already turning on yourselves. Look what's happened. Infighting.
No, there's no infighting, mate. There's no infighting. I tell you what, everybody's behind Kevin, and it's more importantly what the team thinks, Robin. So this is the build-up, and what goes on with those 17 players and the last message and the confidence and their training week, that's what really counts. And they haven't let us down in the past, and I don't think that they'll let us down next Wednesday.
Did you stay at the casino last night after the Matty John show, mate?
Sorry?
Did you stay at the casino last night?
No. I'm staying at the QC. Because that's where they are, aren't they?
Yes, you should have been there.
No, I've been a bit cooked the last couple of days, so I just stayed at the QT at a quiet one, and I'm about to jump on a plane in about 45 minutes.
Righto. Hey, Gordy, can I just... I've got a Facebook friend. Yeah. I won't say her... Well, I will. She must have caught the plane with you yesterday, and she posted, she said, I don't really follow rugby league. A lot of them say that, don't they? Nice. But she turned, and Gordon Tallis was sitting next to her, and she mentioned how you threw her cousin over the sideline one night during a State of Origin game. She was obviously Brett Hodgson's cousin.
Is this... Yeah. There's this lady who was sitting there, and I actually fell asleep. And when I woke up, she asked me, did I want any cheese and Vickies? Because that's what they give you on a plane these days, cheese and Vickies. And then she talked for the last, 30 minutes of the flight.
That's what it says.
So it was like Robin. It was like one of those, people that... They sit next to Robin when they want to talk.
Yeah, that's right, because Robin's a chatter on planes. She's a chatter. Yeah.
As opposed to you, Gordy, who never takes a breath.
Sleep and put headphones in with no music.
She said she's giving you a big rap.
Yeah,
on
she said you're a lovely she's guy. And,
you know what? She was lovely, and I think she was married to Mick Fenning's brother or something like that. Oh, so she had a real connection with all the service and Joel, and we had a couple of mutual friends.
Oh, now, Gordy, you get on a plane. Now, speaking of getting on planes, we're very excited to. Has this been announced yet?
What's that? Wednesday? The next Wednesday?
Yeah, you're coming.
Coming, aren't you? Yeah. On the plane. Yeah. On the Triple M jet to Origin 2.
Is Wayne Bennett coming too?
No, just you, Gordon.
Can we get Wayne on?
Wouldn't that be good?
But I'd love that.
He's about the same age as some of the flight attendants. So
you will be in tow with us. Make sure you register for the Triple M jet, triplem.com.au. Thank you, Gordon. You don't have to register, mate. You're on the plane.